listening to SCR, Stratford Community Radio.
Good afternoon. You're listening to This Much I Know, Stratford Community Radio. This is Jackie King Turner. Now, as I'm sure you know by now, This Much I Know is not how much I know, but the wisdom of my guests. And today it's my great pleasure to welcome back Jane Hornby to the show. She came in for a quick half an hour a few weeks back to talk about her medieval fair. And when I found out what she's done and is still doing, an amazing career, I thought she has to come back to be my guest and talk about the bigger picture of her life and career. So welcome back, Jane.
Hello, Jackie.
And we kicked off there with a bit of live Tina Turner, because it's the whole live event arena that's your thing, isn't it? So we're going to talk about that in a lot more detail in a minute. In fact, when I saw the list of people that Jane has actually worked with, I mean, well, it was fair to say kind of my tongue rolled out, really, to have worked with these amazing people, Tina Turner, you two, the Teletubbies. You name it, you've done it. So this is fabulous.
MySCR.co.uk.
Now, a lot of people locally will associate you with the medieval fair and the work you do with the church. But you have been involved with the broadcast media for a huge chunk of your career. So tell us how you got involved in that.
Well, basically, I was at school in Stratford, the Stratford-upon-Avon Grammar School for Girls, and I wasn't that particularly bright to go on to university, and I really wanted to do something involved in the journalism or the media. And I actually got a job at ATV Network in Birmingham, which was then ATV. It is now Central Television and changed its name all over the place. And I started off as a sort of very lowly little secretary in children's programming, and then eventually trained on the technical side as a production assistant. That job title now has changed dramatically because the whole TV industry has changed, and it's now, you could be called an associate director or a director's assistant. And I trained on the really scary live shows, the local news, and which was very, it was scary because you had to get the programme on air on time and get it off on time and count down the newscaster. It was really scary stuff, but it taught you that you must never, ever be a minute late anywhere. You have to, it's best to be an hour early. So punctuality was one of the key issues of that job.
My goodness, I think maybe I should do that, actually. I'm renowned to being a bit ish on my timing.
And it taught you absolute attention to detail. You could not afford to make a mistake. So, you know, you're sort of quite trembly, I think, the first time I ever did it at the age of 19, which was extremely young. Very soon after that, they raised the age limit. I wonder why. So I was the youngest in the country doing the job. So, it was a good experience. And then I decided to, I wanted to work in London. So I applied for a transfer to ATV's Elstree Studios, which was then the top place to be in television. It was run by Lou Grade, or Sir Lou Grade, and we were doing all the big shows like the Tom Jones Show in his heyday. We were doing the Muppets. We were doing everything and anything that was really big production. So I went down there and worked about 12 years on all the big drama series, also the big light entertainment series, and worked with the likes of John Wayne and Gene Kelly. And I mean, it was just fantastic.
And now you are working with Jackie King Turner on Stratford Community Radio.
I can only go up, Jackie.
Well, you know, that I was just saying to Andy when he left, you know, this is quite a thing for me, you know, having been doing this job for a year and a half and having never broadcast anything in my life before, that there are a significant number of my guests who are so much more experienced at this than I am. So all I can say is a huge thank you for coming to talk to me, because just, you know, but I'm basking in reflected glory, frankly. I think this is fab. And this is where, you know, the gossipy in me has to kind of go, God, what was John Wayne like then? What's Tom Jones like? You know, what are these people like to, you know, when you see them on the television, you've grown up watching them, you know, you kind of hardly, it's hard to believe that they actually do exist.
Well, they do. And the fun, I mean, the main thing is that all the people you work with are professional. They're human beings just like you and I, but they are professional in their particular field. And I'm always still amazed, particularly at actors, ballet dancers, or any dance for that matter. I'm staggered by what they do. And musicians. I really, you know, my hat's off to all of them, because I certainly couldn't do it.
I know, but you make them look so good on the when they're on TV, don't you? So that's flip side.
But no, I've been very lucky. People think it's glamorous to work in television. It is to a point, but it's sheer hard work. In the past, I've often worked 24 hours around the clock. You do one video promo. When I was freelance, you did one video promo down in some awful warehouse in the East End of London in a November night with no heating, nothing. And then you'd been off to a studio next day doing something totally different with no sleep. And that's how you would exist as a freelance. I don't think it's quite so bad now, but that's the sort of lifestyle you've got into. So you would sleep and eat at any old time.
How did you manage? Because you look amazingly well.
Well, this is some years ago, Jackie. I think I probably had a lot more energy then. But that was the way it worked, particularly in the pop video field. So it was good fun. I've met and worked with fantastic people. One director I've worked with an awful lot is the Emmy Award director David Mallet, and I still work with him. Known him for over 25 years, actually. And he's done all the David Bowies, the Tina Turner, all the big shows. And we still jog along together quite well. The camera crew I work with, the freelance boys, I've known again for years and years, and we all trust each other. There's a great deal of trust, particularly that I have got to actually tell them exactly what's happening in the show. And you've got 26 cameras sometimes, and they've got to be directed.
Every single one has slightly different instructions at any one time.
And you are actually relating, particularly on the complicated shows like ballet and Cirque du Soleil shows I've done, you are having to literally talk them through every single movement, even of a trapeze artist, exactly what they're going to be doing. You can't say, oh, they're just swinging through the air. You've got to actually say they're moving down stage left or they're down stage right. They're going to turn over. They're going to put their left arm out. You've got to actually specify exactly what's happening. So the camera shot can be set up to make sure that it's got that in the frame.
So how do you get to that point? Do you have to watch the rehearsals over and over again?
Yes, you do. And these days it's been made a lot easier. They give you a nice wide shot of a show. Send it to me and I can then literally frame by frame work out exactly what's going to happen. Years ago, all you got was a little sound cassette, particularly on heavy metal music, and you just have to go for it and count all the bars of music and break the script down that way. But now you do at least get the visuals, which are essential. Absolutely essential.
And presumably the advent of advanced technology must at least allow you to make quicker decisions.
Yeah, definitely. And you've got the edit facility. I mean, many years ago when I first started in television, which was a bit like Noah's Ark, there was hardly any editing facility at all. So it was done as live. Drama series were done as live. Thinking of Z-Cars on BBC, I mean, they were done literally live. Most of the theatre stuff on BBC was done live. So you can imagine the poor actors and everybody and the technicians. It was. I keep saying scary stuff, but it was. Now, of course, it's done shot by shot, done as a film. Very, very different.
But when I see, for example, I watched some of the coverage of Glastonbury the other weekend, and you know, they're obviously taking the coverage that we see is being relayed from a myriad of different cameras. And I always thought that, you know, the lead singers or whatever come on stage and just rock out. But presumably for you behind the scenes to film it properly, they can't. They have to rock out to a specific choreography. Otherwise, you don't know where to send the cameraman.
Ah, well, that unfortunately doesn't always work. You have to go with them.
Right.
So if you're doing like a Rolling Stones show, for instance, and they've been on tour for a few months, their moves are pretty well set because the lighting is all programmed in on computer.
Right.
So they've got to hit particular spots on the stage. So that's quite straightforward. I'm going to say, well, Mick Jagger's going to go running stage left or camera right. Then he usually does that. But when you've got as you say, that festival or Brit Awards or anything where people are going to just come on stage, do their bit and go off, then you are in their hands, technically. So you have to be aware that they could do all sorts of things.
Yes, the mind. Well, and they do frequently, don't they?
Yes.
Just thinking of Jarvis Cocker years ago.
Well, I was on that, actually.
Were you?
Yes,
what was that like?
It was 1996 Brit Awards, and yes. Michael Jackson was doing the particular song, which was a bit Christ-like. He had the arms out, and there were lots of children on the set, and Jarvis Cocker obviously had a great umbrage, took great umbrage about it, and leapt up on stage, and the police, next thing we knew, we were in the control room, the police barged in and wanted the tape. So there was, and then Jarvis, I think, ended up in prison that night, it was a very interesting time.
My goodness, and you presumably couldn't say, no, you can't have it if the police are coming in, can you really?
Well, it had to be in the machine at the time, which was a bit awkward,
yes.
But we were recording it to edit it overnight to go out next day. But it was the one time I actually ever worked with Michael Jackson. Interesting man. I watched him in rehearsal, much taller than I thought he would be. Incredible, absolutely mesmerising.
Because that's an interesting point, because Jane, it was so nice when you came in. We're both about the same height, aren't we?
Yes.
Which means we do view life from a dizzy sort of almost needing oxygen level compared with some people. And I always get the sense that most famous people I see on television are really not as tall as me, politely put. Mm. So I always like it when famous people are really tall.
Well, interesting enough, the Rolling Stones aren't that. I mean, I always thought Keith Richard would be quite tall. No, definitely not. And Ronnie Wood. They're quite short, I suppose, in male terms.
Yes.
So, yes, you get an illusion on television. And in most cases in television, you end up looking, and I say not fatter, that's awful, but bigger than you actually are in real life. Mm. It's the way the camera lens projects you. So you have to be really stick thin to be look a normal size, I suppose.
I keep telling my children that, actually. You know, anything you see either in the print media or on broadcast media, it's not real.
Mm.
If you met the people face to face, they would not look like that.
No, absolutely right. I mean, magazines, I'm afraid, are quite bad at, well, we know, the airbrushing.
Yes.
Which is a great shame, I think. But with television, yes, I mean, a lot of it's down to lighting and makeup. You can make someone look fantastic with good lighting.
I'd love to have that done just for a...
You don't need it.
Oh, you're very kind. But no, I had my colours done years ago, and they went with a friend, and we got professionally made up, and we both looked at each other. I went with a friend, she said, "Is that you?" And she said to me, is that really me? And came home and got my now husband to take photos of us, because we couldn't believe the lady had made us look so amazing. Mm. And I'd love to have a go at that once, just to see. And then you could bring some of... And I'm saying this, folks, because I've had conjunctivitis all week and I'm wearing as little makeup as I can possibly get away with, so that I don't scare Jane particularly, but anyone else, scare the horses, as you might say.
No, you don't need to.
Oh, you're very kind. But no, interesting. So, yeah, they really are larger-than-life people.
Yes, I think in all means. It's quite a strange world. I mean, you're in that celebrity bracket. I mean, celebrity, I'm talking about not so much the celebrities we see in certain magazines, where they don't really have a huge background in talent, but they become celebrities. I'm talking about the likes of musicians and artists and singers and actors who really do have that talent. And they sometimes can live in quite a surreal world because everything's done for them. And they have extremely busy schedules. They have to promote their films, they have to promote their record. So it can be a little bit unreal for them, I think.
Do you see that manifesting itself in behaviour occasionally?
To be honest, all the years I've worked with people, not really. I've met some really, really nice people, and often heavy metal bands are really terrific people. You think, oh, you know, it's going to be really rock and roll and that. But fantastic, they drink Earl Grey tea, and, you know, they've all sort of got off the drugs and rock and roll stuff from the 60s and 70s, and they've all calmed down. I'm sure there are some that still are a bit wild, but generally, most of them are, they know they've got to get a show on the air.
And they're kind of, what's it, Bon Jovi? John Bon Jovi says he's the managing director of the Bon Jovi brand, therefore he runs the company.
Yeah.
And I guess if you've got people's livelihoods depending on you, and
absolutely,
you have a brand, and, you know, the whole kind of life cycle from you doing the music to the people at the recording studios and distribution or whatever, that's a responsibility, isn't it? And if you don't deliver, then you're letting an awful lot of people down, let alone yourself.
Well, you think when any of the big tours, the Rolling Stones, Madonna, whoever, the amount of equipment and amount of people just to put that show on a big stadium, it is phenomenal. I've watched it purely from a television production point of view, but I've seen them, the roadies, they have to sleep in buses because that's the only time they ever get to sort of sleep. They don't get to a hotel or their home. They're on the road all around the world. They have to put the set up. They have to light it, get it all ready, the sound check, everything. Then the band play at night. And as soon as the band have got in their limos and off to the next airport, the roadies are taking it all down again, into the trucks and off to the next country. I mean, it is extraordinary lifestyle.
That is the bit that I think would be slightly less than glamorous, I must confess.
Definitely.
And, you know, it's very reassuring when you see people who behave outrageously on stage to know that they're actually decent, ordinary people. Because I think a lot of the buzz around is that they are quite strange. And to hear that actually they can be strange if they need to on stage, but they're actually not. They are professionals or whatever, is quite reassuring, really.
Oh,
you like to think of your idols being you know, having some kind of conscience, really, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, I think one or two can be a little bit wayward, should I say. But generally, I think most of them are, you know, have been, I've never had a problem. But then I'm not dealing with them all the time. But the stories, you know, would go around, certainly. And they just don't. I mean, there's some. I mean, Tina Turner is one of the most exceptionally lovely people in the world. And there are others, plenty of others.
This is Stratford Community Radio.
I'm here with Jane Hornby, who is just shedding the light on what it's like to work with all these amazing people. Now, for those of you who were listening a couple of weeks ago, Jane came in to talk about the Medieval Fair, which was a huge success. And Jane has, well, judging by the time of the emails that you've been sending me, you've certainly put the hours in to make it happen. So tell us about how you got involved with the church.
Well, I lived in London for years and came back to Stratford, and then went back sort of to Holy Trinity Church and eventually became a church warden. And I've just stepped down from doing that for 5 years, which is quite a responsible job, because it's part of, you know, you have to really be responsible for an awful lot of various parts of the church. I'm working with the clergy. But this year is our big 2010 800th anniversary celebrations of, we call it Shakespeare's Church because it sort of resonates an awful lot with people, because there are an awful lot of Holy Trinity churches around the world. And we wanted to do various events, and one of which was to really look at our medieval roots, because the church, as far as we know, started to be built in 1210. So we decided to have a medieval fair, a whole Doctor Who type time travellers school project where 1,000 school children came through in a week, and a huge medieval banquet at the end of it. So the whole week was really fantastic. The fair was my sort of baby, I suppose. Spent many hours working on it, organising, make sure we had skilled craftsmen, performers, lots of activities for families. Yeah, you name it, I think it was there.
The agenda was phenomenal. I have to say, this is where you could tell that you'd been involved in large-scale productions, because everything was down to quarter-of-an-hour segments. And I imagine those quarter-of-an-hour segments stayed on time during the day.
Well, they did, which was absolutely extraordinary. Everybody, yeah, they did. It kept to the time limit. You know, like 15 minutes, you've got playing that, and then another performer will start. It all worked, and it was great, actually. And it was really funny to see our own church choir dressed in all various modes of costume rather than all their cassocks, because they were all doing so many different things. And they were sort of really kicked off the morning with our own Trinity musicians and Trinity players. So, no, it was great. And then we had various other musicians and performers who came in and did pieces, and it was really wonderful.
Well, the word on the street was it was phenomenally successful. And I think I mentioned at the time, I could not believe how many people in the area have medieval hobbies. It's bizarre, isn't it? You look at people in the street and you think, yeah, but you'd never know what people do in their spare time. Maybe yeah. You wouldn't want to know in some instances, but there's a huge chunk of people in this area that like medieval stuff.
Yes, it's, I suppose it's quite popular. I mean, reenactment is very popular. I mean, the sealed knot was recently at Stratford Armouries, and there are huge groups of people all over the country who love to do that reenactment piece, I suppose. So medieval was, yeah, I mean, it covers 400 years from about William the Conqueror till the first Tudor king. So you could actually go dressed as Robin Hood if you wanted to, or a Norman knight, or, you know, you could go dressed as anything. So I think that probably why it appeals, because it covers such a wide range of history, although it's called the medieval period. Interesting period for lots of reasons. Well, all history is, actually.
And I live at the foot of Edge Hill, which and very close to where a lot of medieval key activities in history happened, and I can tell you there's still echoes of it rumbling round in the South Warwickshire hills.
Well, the Civil War particularly, yes, around Edge Hill.
Absolutely.
But I think it's important that we do look at history, because I think, you know, the past and the present really shape our futures, and I think we should remember that sometimes, that it is important just to look back and see what if we've learnt anything sometimes, and sadly sometimes we haven't, but it's good to look back, and then you realise, gosh, quite like the fact I've got a fridge, I didn't have that in, you know, years ago, or I've got a television which I'd never obviously have had either. So all these things that we take for granted now, electricity, water, heat, you had them in very different forms, of course. So interesting.
I think I went to Mary Arden's farm a little while ago on a school trip with one of my children, and one of the people there said that currently we have the electrical equipment in our houses or labour-saving devices that will save the average full-time mother, as I am when I'm not here, something ridiculous like 21 hours a day. And I've probably got the statistic totally wrong, but I did remember thinking, ooh, you know, I wouldn't be coming on school trips if I had to spend most of my working life worrying about where the next meal was coming from and washing everything by hand and gathering firewood and things like that. It just, yes, I think every so often we need to take a step back and be grateful.
Absolutely. No, it is quite, it was good, actually. And we had support from the Stratford Town Trust and a lot of other people were really, really good. And it was a day of the church giving back to the community.
Excellent. And you've got a piece of music that resonates with that.
Well, I've actually got, because of the church and my involvement with it, I actually got married there a few years ago. I sadly lost my previous husband, who died suddenly about 12 years ago. But I remarried in 2004 in Holy Trinity at a candlelit late afternoon December wedding. And it was lovely. And this piece of music is Gloria by Vivaldi. And it really reminds me of that lovely wedding. And it was played as I came through the church. So, yes, and we're very lucky at Holy Trinity. We've got a really top church choir. And in fact, they're doing a concert tonight at Holy Trinity at 7:30, if anyone wants to go along.
Oh, give them a plug.
But it is under the direction of Andrew Jones. We really have a most fantastic church choir. And we're about to go to New York to fly the flag for Stratford and Holy Trinity Church. So we're going to be, they're going to be singing in various churches in New York and Boston. So, but no, if you ever go to Evensong in Holy Trinity on a Sunday night at 6 o'clock, you will have a treat. And it's free because it's a service. So Gloria by Vivaldi really reminds me of that wedding and Holy Trinity.
I used to sing in choirs when I was at school, and it's lovely hearing some choral music. Takes me back. Although I can blow my credibility completely by saying, as I went to an all-girls boarding school, it was the only way we got to meet boys, was by singing in the choir. So there was a bit of a subtext going on there. But anyway, which my children will be horrified by when I do try and talk about how wonderful classical music is and things like that. But anyway, this is Jackie King-Turner on my own today with Jane, as you may have noticed from some of the technological bloopers and my phone ringing, various other things, but hopefully you'll be gentle with me. We are approaching the last 10 minutes of the show, and we promised that we were going to play some music that was associated with Compton Verney, but I do like knowing the inside gossip from things, so if you have any wonderful stories for the things that can happen and do happen, the... Send your video off and get £400 type bloomer sort of stories from TV. That would be wonderful to hear.
Do you want to hear them now?
Or yes, let's well? Hear them now.
It's a bit like It'll Be All Right on the Night, which was quite a funny... I'm not sure if it still goes out, actually, but it used to be a lovely programme.
Oh, yes.
All the bits that went wrong. And a couple that I remember. We did a few years ago in Copenhagen. It was a huge show for Hans Christian Andersen's anniversary. I think it was 200th or something, or 250th. And in front of the Danish royal family. And there was a beautiful American soprano singing, I think, Song to the Moon by Dvorak. And we've got a very, very, I suppose, a brilliant AD, they call him. He's a bit like a floor manager, but he can shift things that you wouldn't believe and do things. And a wind machine was put on for this soprano's hair to sort of gently blow in the breeze to make it look all wonderful. Well, someone had obviously put the power on so high that it was like a whirlwind and her hair was going everywhere. And we couldn't do anything about it. But Ian, this fantastic floor manager, managed to dive in because she was actually surrounded by a group of children on the stage. He managed to dive in amongst the children without being seen on the television screen. And he turned it, but he couldn't turn it down. He had to turn it off. So suddenly her hair, which had been going like a whirlwind, suddenly went on her face, just completely flat. And do you know what? She just carried on singing. I mean, bless her.
That's professional for you.
Exactly. And next morning we saw her at the airport because we were all about to get back to London all. And we all sort of skulked behind the pillows thinking, oh, poor thing. We're so embarrassed. You know, this could have happened to her. But there we go. That's being professional. The show must go on.
But you'd think maybe for people like that, to have a huge gust of wind when they're singing would be quite damaging to their voices.
Well, it wasn't supposed to be a huge gust of wind, you
well,
see.
Well, a gust
it should
of wind.
It should have been a light, you know, a nice light sort of breeze, but unfortunately whoever set the machine didn't do it correctly, and it was too late. And when they realised it, of course, she was in the middle of her song. So it was quite funny. And there was one other little quick story that years ago we did a Barbara Streisand show, which was called, I think it's a musical world, basically, with instruments and musicians and dancers from all over the world. And the final shot, they set everybody up. It was the Philharmonic Orchestra, I think, if I remember. It was the Welsh Guards band. There were Japanese, Arabic, every instrument you can imagine, and dancers and performers. I mean, it was huge. And the last person to come on would have been Barbara at the very front. But before her was the camel. They brought the camel on. This is it. Never act with children or with animals. Brought the camel on, and it decided to offload its lunch. And if you've ever seen a camel, it makes one hell of a mess.
And probably, yes.
And
ooh, dear.
Anyway, they had to clear the entire studio and start all over again. So it took hours to reset. So those little stories, you know, can happen. And
that's like the Blue Peter elephant, isn't
yes,
it, really?
Oh, yes, and I can still see that, actually, when they're sliding around with this poor elephant who decided to, couldn't get to the gents in time. Yes,
I know. My goodness. Well, we have a camel with the belly dancing troupe, but it's a pantomime one. So that's probably, there is a chap locally called Joseph who has his own troop of camels and he takes them around to events.
Oh, I think we've used him maybe at the church at Christmas.
Yes, yes. I'm sure you have actually. Yeah.
And Kevin the donkey, yes.
Oh my goodness. So they, well, yes, we've had, mind you, we have had dogs on this show. We've had stunt dogs on the show.
Oh.
We're about to be bombed a la Apocalypse Now. No, we're not. That was a helicopter going over. It's all right. We're safe, everybody. And they were absolutely amazing to work with, I suppose, because they're real pros, because they work in film and television, and that's what they do.
Oh, absolutely. And then they're well looked after. I mean,
oh, very much
really,
so.
Really, very, yeah, exactly. They have to be. But there is that thing, you know, don't act with children and animals. And I think in most cases it's great. I mean, if you love that show Outnumbered on BBC One, I think it's hysterical. You know, have you seen it with the parents?
I watched
and the three
it
children?
Last night.
So good.
And it's ad-libbed a lot of it, isn't it?
Oh, yeah,
it?
Absolutely. I mean, it's brilliantly done. And you just think, yeah, that's really, you know, something.
Well, would you like to be working on a show like that?
Yeah, I think. I mean, I enjoy working on it on anything, actually, and I've worked on some fairly serious things and some great light-hearted things. So, yeah, I think it's, you know, I think I love to working on everything, really, except live news. That is really, although I'll be interested in the stories, I think it's the actual processes of doing it are quite different.
In terms of just the second by second having to get everything bang on the nail.
I think there's that, and I suppose the creativity I would miss. You know, you're actually creating something when you've got music and dancers and actors, and cold news is created to a certain point, but it doesn't do that to me so much, I have to say.
Well, once you've worked with the Cirque du Soleil and Tina Turner and U2 and things, then I can totally understand that. So what does the future hold for you now? What's next in your diary?
Well, I'm actually hopefully doing Ragdoll Productions, obviously close by in Stratford. I've worked with them on with the Teletubbies, and
we've had Lala on the show.
Right, and I loved it, like Tinky Winky, actually. He was gorgeous. They've been doing In the Night Garden, which I lovely programme.
Oh, so do I.
Yeah, Macapaca. Oh, yes. Fantastic. So I'm doing a lot of their music cue sheets and their post-production work for them. And there may well be two Cirque du Soleil shows coming up, one in Washington and one in London. But they're not definite. And as usual, we never know until they're completely confirmed. So that'll be in the pipeline.
Oh my goodness. And we did promise you some music to do with Compton Verney, didn't we? So that is the one that we're going to play next, I think, some Handel.
Yes, it's really related to those two canalettos that I was talking about at Compton Verney. It's the Georgian period, and people used to promenade. And this is where the BBC Proms name comes from, and promenading. People used to promenade, hear the music, walk round, stop to listen to the music, and then walk on again. And that's where the word promenading comes from.
Excellent. Here you go, some Handel. One of the things I love about doing this show is the eclectic selection of music that my guests bring in. And I think that that was a fabulous thing to listen to on a very hot Saturday afternoon in Stratford or thereabouts. I think that was a fabulous piece of music. Now, unfortunately, I've just had an email in from poor Jackie Alexander, who is basically stuck with a horrendously bad back. So we're going to run over a tiny bit with our show, and then you'll get a chance to listen to, I think... What we will select is Andy Garside covering for an Adrian show with Wes Finch, because we like Wes Finch. He's got an amazing band. The music is fabulous. So I think the listeners would like an opportunity to hear him again. So we will we'll finish off with your final choice of music, which I think is the Elaine Page track.
Yes, this song, Memory, in the summer of 1997, I worked on the filming of Cats in a theatre in London, and it was the most amazing several weeks I spent. Elaine Page was playing Grisabella, and Sir John Mills was playing Gus the theatre cat, and he was about 90 then. And at one lovely point, I mean, dressed as, you can imagine, dressed as a cat, he came up to me, I was sitting down waiting for the next shot, put his arms on my shoulders and said, "Isn't this absolutely marvellous? In my day, we only had one camera." You know, you think this mega film star of John Mills. And he said, "Now we have all these cameras. Isn't it wonderful?" And he was a delight. But the song also brought back a lot of memories to me, because it was at that time, sadly, that Princess Diana was killed. And I was staying in London, obviously, because we were shooting it there. And it was surreal. London for a week was at a standstill. And I was staying with a girlfriend in London, and we both went to Kensington Palace to put flowers on the huge mountain of flowers. And there were thousands of people there, and not one sound. It was extraordinary atmosphere. And I can still smell those flowers now. And when on Shakespeare's birthday in Holy Trinity Church, when all the flowers are put on Shakespeare's grave, that smell comes back to me. And it's quite evocative of that time, which was a pretty extraordinary time. I think everyone remembers where they were when they heard the news, a bit like when President Kennedy was shot. It's one of those iconic historical moments, I suppose. So this song reminds me of that, in a way, a sad time, but it's also the fact that I did this wonderful, or worked on this wonderful film, having done quite a few for Andrew Lloyd Webber. And I think Elaine really was the best one to sing this song called Memory.
Excellent. And before we play that, I just wanted to say thank you. This is Jackie King-Turner. You've been listening to your radio station, Stratford Community Radio. Thank you for putting up with the technical bloopers today. It's been worth it to hear all of Jane's stories, which are just fabulous, and I've loved it. I love living the showbiz life vicariously, I think, is excellent. So hearing the reality of it is just so good. Sam will be back next week as my technology safety net. Remember to look at the Facebook page for the latest information and photos. And next week we'll be welcoming Nicola Minaj, who is, wait for it, a motivational hypnotherapist, who'll be talking about harnessing the power of your subconscious mind. And I love all that sort of thing, so I'm really looking forward to meeting her. So see you next time and next week, same time, same place. Thank you for listening.
You're listening to SCR, Stratford Community Radio, online at myscr.co.uk.